Okay, Rav Ozai, why don't we start? Okay. We are a little bit more than 24 hours away from Rosh Hashanah. And obviously, one of the things which will shift on Rosh Hashanah in our davening is the Nusach HaTfilah, which you're all familiar with, which of course is the fact that we'll start saying HaMelech HaKadosh. The truth is, as you know, during the week between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the weekday Shemon Esrei, we also say HaMelech HaMishpat, and that will be mentioned in the Gemara that we seal, but that's not really our topic for tonight. But HaMelech HaKadosh, which we will begin already tomorrow night, is the topic of tonight's shir. And I want to raise the following question as an introduction to the shir. Imagine the following case. You are a very serious Yeshiva Bachar, you've been steiging away in Shalvim now for a whole Chodesh Elul, and you've been thinking about Tshuva, you've been learning about Tshuva, you've been thinking about Rosh Hashanah and all of the deep mysteries and secrets that you've been taught from your Rebbeim and in the Beres Chugim, and you're so into it, and your mind is so deep and in so many places, that tomorrow night, during Maariv, as you daven, you forget. You're so into the davening that you forget actually what you're davening, and you say, Hakel HaKadosh. So what's the halacha? So we really need to go over this, because my guess is that if it happened to you, and just statistically it's probably going to happen to somebody, you may be a little bit embarrassed to ask a shayla. I know it's the first night of Rosh Hashanah, but I wasn't paying attention to Shemon Esrei. It happens anyways, we're all human, but we may be a little bit more embarrassed about that than if we would make that mistake at a random mincha sometime later in the week. So the good thing is, the important thing is, we need to know what is the halacha, and in order to answer that question, we need to really dig a little deeper to try to understand not only the halachos, but the lomdus of this idea of the nusach of HaMelech HaKadosh. So the basis of this change in our davening for Aser Shemei Tshuva comes from a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. First source on your sheet, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabba Achinina Saba Mishmei De Rav, Kol Hashana Kula Adam Mispalal Hakel HaKadosh, Melko Heiv Sadaka Mishpat. We're all familiar with that, of course. Chutz Me Asar Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim Shemispal HaMelech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat. We change the Nusach during these 10 days from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. What is the change? What's the theme of the change? I put Rashi there on the end of the second line. Rashi tells us, Nefisha b'yamim halalu, humara malchuso, lishbot esa ola. What is Rashi telling us? Something very interesting. Let's say, I saw one of you guys tonight, and you weren't here last week, and I started giving you serious mussar. You would have every right to be thinking, and perhaps you'd even say, who are you? You have a right to give me mussar? I mean, you may be a good guy and all, thank you, but you don't owe me anything. If I be Rabbi Waxman, or I don't know, Rabbi Nussbach, or Rabbi Reich, or something, so they're your rebbeim. There's a certain relationship which gives them a right. Your parents call, what are you doing? You're not going to yeshiva? Would I spend all this money to send you to Israel for the party? Your parents, they have a... Rashi is anticipating the question, which is the whole premise of these 10 days is that Hashem is judging us. Well, who gave him the right to judge us? I want to answer it. I want to answer it to somebody else. So that's what Rashi is saying. It's a profound Rashi. Again, what's the idea? Mara Malchuso. Because once you realize that he's Malchuso, he's Melech, then Lishbot Esa Olam. If you're Melech Olam, you have a right to be shofated. If you're the Menahel or the Mashgiach of a yeshiva, you have a right to judge the Talmidim. So, it's an important, profound change in the Nusach. Then, the Gemara has the following line. It's interesting. Middle of that third line, I don't have it underlined. The question is how to understand its relationship to the first line of the Gemara. It seems like maybe it's a non sequitur. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Afilu Omer Akel HaKadosh Yotza, and he gives a pasuk. How do you understand what Rabbi Lazar is saying? Is he adding on to the first line of the Gemara? The Gemara was saying, you're supposed to say, HaMelech HaKadosh. And he's saying, no, you know, that's okay, but you could just as easily, just as well, say, HaKel HaKadosh. Or perhaps, what might he be doing? not just add, not adding on, not qualifying, but disagreeing. Now, the Lashon Rav Elazar is afilu amar kel kadosh, which sounds like maybe you made a mistake. Now, the question is how to read the Gemara. Is Rav Elazar speaking on a l'chachila level? Afilu amar kel kadosh is just as good? Or is he saying something completely unrelated? Or not completely, but different. No, you should say amal kadosh. If you make a mistake, it's okay if you said akel kadosh. But I see it. That is a very slight nuance. But that nuance gives rise to a very interesting machlokas rishonim. Gemara continues. If you skip down to the second to last line, middle of the line, the Gemara says, "My hava Allah." What's the bottom line? What's the maskana? Omer Rav Yosef, hakel kadosh, umelath ohev tzedakah umishpat. Rav Yosef, again, seems to be channeling what we saw from Rav Elazar. We're just not sure what that means. Then Rabba says, Hamelech HaKadosh, Hamelech HaMishpat, Hilchos HaKarabba. So there seems to be a debate, at least at the end of the Gemara. We're not sure about the first two months of Amrim, but at the end of the Gemara, where we have Rabbi Yosef and Rabba, there seems to be a debate. The question is how to read the Gemara. When the Gemara had said initially, Hamelech HaKadosh, did it even mean B'diyeved, you're not Yotze without it? And in that case, if that's what the first opinion of the Gemara is, then maybe the second opinion is fundamentally arguing. Or perhaps the first opinion was only l'chadchila, and the second opinion is clarifying, yes, it's only l'chadchila, but b'diyeved, even at kel kadosh is good. So what do you think the simple understanding of Gemara is? So machlokas here, and again, the important thing is if depending on how we understand the machlokas, that'll be important for how the Gemara seems to say we passim like Rabba. The question is, what did Rabba say? What was the argument about to know what the significance of that psak is? So what I think that there is a more pashut and a slightly more dachuk way of reading the Gemara. What do you think? What's the more pashut way of reading the Gemara? What's the machlokas? Is there a machlokas or not? And what's the machlokas? B'diyeved. And the Gemara's conclusion would be according to that? Right. So I happen to agree with you that that would be the simple understanding of Gemara. We're in good company. Most Rishonim read the Gemara that way. We'll see Tosfos inside in a moment. But for now, let me show you just the summary of the Beis Yosef. Are you all familiar with the Beis Yosef? Who wrote the Beis Yosef? Now, you know, it's interesting. In history, you never know what's going to happen. Very often we imagine certain things and are about our own life. In the end, we all only live a certain amount of time, and history is the judge. Rav Yosef Kara wrote in his introduction to the Beis Yosef that he considered that to be his magnum opus. That's what he put all his effort, his kishkas, he sunk them into the Beis Yosef. And by the way, once I did all this work, I made like a cliff notes, and that's going to be called the Shulchan Aruch. But the real work was Beis Yosef. Now, obviously, history had another thing in mind, because he's overwhelmingly known, of course, as the author of the Shulchan Aruch. What he thought was just going to be cliff notes to his magnum opus turned out to be the defining halachic work of Judaism for the last 400 or 500 years. Just an interesting sidebar. But be that as it may, one of the great things in learning about Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef is a commentary on what? On the tour. So the commentary on the tour is not as succinct as Shulchan Aruch is, but the tour also doesn't have unlimited numbers of shitas and unlimited numbers of explanation or background. It's relatively succinct. So the Beis Yosef commenting on the tour gives you the Gemaras, the various Rishonim, and then you see the bigger picture and you understand the tour better, looking backwards. Looking forwards, you can also usually see where the Shulchan Aruch got his psak from. Now, sometimes you have an interesting sugya because he seems to contradict himself to the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. That does not happen in our sugya tonight, but it does happen every now and then. So on this sugya, take a look at the Beis Yosef. So he quotes the following. He says, you see from the way he reads, the way he's going to say, most Rishonim read Rabbi Lazar in the third line. Mechlad Rabbi Lazar Yotze. The fact that Rabbi Lazar said, you're Yotze by Sanka Kela Kadosh. Mechlad L'Rav Afilu B'diyav Lo Yotze. Again, it wasn't explicit in the Gemara. But the Beis Yosef reads the Gemara the way we said was the Pashup Shat. That you see that, no, there really is a fundamental machlokas going on. B'diyav, are you Yotze or not? And he tells us that the Rosh agrees with that as well. that b'dieved pligi ularab ularaba, who we paskin like the kaimel and kavasei lo yotza b'tzarech lahatzir. There's a real bona fide machlokas. It's not just l'chafil and b'dieved. Rav and Rabba held that you need to melcha kadosh even b'dieved. You're not yotze without that, and therefore that's the Rosh Hashita. V'chein pasak the Rif and the Rambam. And it happens to be, this is a particular example, the Beis Yosef in that same introduction, the Mechaber tells you that usually if you want to have the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, he, in his opinion, there were three Amudei Hora'ah, three big pillars. Who were they? The Rev, the Rambam, and the Rush. So usually he tells you it's strict calculus, even the kind of math that I could do. It's a simple majority. It's the best out of three series. Two out of three, that's usually who he passes like. But in this case, of all the Rishonim possibly that he could have quoted that are out there on the Sugya, it's Dafka, the big three. And here you have a clean sweep. All three, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, all hold that it's B'dieved, Hamelch, HaKadosh, it has to be what you said. Nevertheless, the Beis Yosef pointed out, I skipped over it initially, in the second line, and in the first line, second line, that the Rav Yah disagrees. That the Rav Yah holds Shapiresh, second line of the Beis Yosef, the Lechar Chila Pligi. Right, that's the other way to read the Gemara. It's a little bit more dachuk. But that the whole argument was on the Chachila. That when Rabbi Lazar said on that third line of the Gemara, he didn't mean b'dieved, your yotze. He meant even the Chachila. The whole debate, says Rabbi Yom, the Gemara is on the Chachila. Do you have to change the Nusach at all? Who said? We're biased because our whole lives we've been saying Amal Chachadosh. But the Rav Yah understood that the Gemara was saying no, on the level of Amoraim, there was a debate in the Chlal, who said you should change the Nusach to Melech HaKadosh? Rav Lazar says you don't have to. But that's the debate. Buzz is Rav Yah, that's the debate. But b'dieved, if you made a mistake, then everyone, even those other opinions who say you should say Melech HaKadosh, even they hold, of course it's not Ma'akim, of course b'dieved you don't say. I think it's a little bit more of a forced reading of the Gemara. But that is the way the Rav Yah read the Gemara. Moreover, if you take a look at the third source, the Mordechai quotes that Rabbeinu Tam also agreed. So the Rav Yah, with all due respect, is a relatively, less central Rishon, of course, than Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is the Gedole Bali Atosus. So it's already a little bit more significant that we have not only Rav Yah, but even Rabbeinu Tam telling us, no, maybe b'dieved you yotze. So it's true, on the one hand we have the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. On the other hand, when you stack up the Rabbeinu Tam and adding that to the Rav Yah, I wouldn't call it 100% an equal fight, but it's a bona fide machlokas. How do you read the Gemara with a major nafkamina lamaisa? What happens if you make a mistake? And I don't know about you, but there's certainly been years in which at least once, if not more than once, on a given Shacharis or Mincha Amar during the Lulav Seris Mechuva, this became very halacha lamaisa for me. Right? We'd like to think, and halavai should be true for all of us this year and every year, that every Yishon Esrei, especially during Esrei Tzmei Tshuva, we have such kavana that we would never, lose track of things. I once heard, I'm trying to remember who, it's on a tape, and I could say it about me because I'm sure it's happened to me too, but I once heard a rabbi saying on a tape that he was once walking down Ben Yehuda, minding his own, but not on Thursday night, of course, but he was once walking down, not when he shan Aleph or anything like that, but he was once walking down Ben Yehuda, and all of a sudden, after even though he's minding his own business, somebody comes over to him and gives him a big punch, right in the chest. He says, what are you doing? Who are you messing with me for? Until he realized, no one hit him. He wasn't on Ben Yehuda. He was in shul in the middle of Shemon Esrei. They just said, Slach Lanu. Right? But our mind tends to wander. I don't know about you, but it certainly happened to me. So, it could happen in Rashi's Meitshuva also. Halacha l'maisa, what happens? What do I do? So machlokas rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, no surprise there. What is the Shulchan Aruch Paskin? Like the big three. Basaris mechuva omer hamelcha kadosh. Bimta, and even if he's in doubt, mesupak, im hu b'hamelcha kadosh, chozer l'rosh. What the Shulchan Aruch was hinting at was a nuance, which is the way we paskin. It's in the notes of the art scroll. That's psak, of course. That Rabbeinu Yonah has a shita which the Shulchan Aruch accepts to split the difference between a Melech HaKadosh and a Melech HaMishpat. So if you were learning about a Melech HaMishpat, we would want to focus more on why that chilik is. But that's not our topic. But on a Melech HaKadosh, the Shulchan Aruch passes like the big three, even though there are a big two against them, the big three, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, that b'dieved, you're not Yotze, you must go back. Adkan, the basic facts We saw a little bit how to read the Gemara, how to chew through the Gemara, the different Rishonim, and we see the Psak Halacha. But of course, the purpose of these Shurim is never just to give you the facts, but to dig a little deeper, to try to understand what is the Lummus. What is the deeper issue? You could say, again, the Rishonim are arguing on some level, and unquestionably they are, how do you read the Gemara? You know, it could be that that's all it's about. Take two random people, Rishonim or otherwise, give them this text, one of them may read it one way, that could lead to one conclusion, one of them might read it another way, lead to a different conclusion. Could be. But I'd like to suggest, and I think it's meduyuk, as we'll see in some of the Rishonim's own words, that there's actually a deeper issue. It's a deeper issue. There's a real lumna shemachlokas here, which affects how they read the Gemara. And this is a mahalich that I want to show you is really meduyuk in Rishonim. You know, again, some of the guys who are here, Sharabet, you know, have even more experience learning, perhaps. So you know that more often than not, when we deal with a real Ian Sugya, so the Rishonim often are telling us facts, important facts. But when you're digging a little deeper to get to the lumnas, very often it's Achronim reading into those words. Now, sometimes the words of the Achron are more compelling. Sometimes they're a little bit more dochuk, a little more speculative. But still, they're digging a little deeper. But X percentage of the time, and I'm not sure what the percentage is, but it's less than half for sure, you have a sugya which is fascinating because at least one, some, or many of the Rishonim seem to be explicitly talking in lumdisha categories. You don't have it all the time, by any stretch. But this is a sugya where we'll see that Tosus and the Rav Yeh, I think you'll see, you'll agree with me, if you don't, you'll tell me, are really speaking in real lumdisha, almost, if you could say, brisker categories. But before we see the Rishonim, I just want to be moda al emes. This overall mahalach, some of the pieces I added myself, but the basic mahalach is a combination of an idea which I saw in three places, three pieces that I read over the years. The first was from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. The second was from the great former, he's passed away from years already, Rosh Yeshiva of Ponovich Shmuel Rozovsky. And the third is someone named Yitzhak Kulitz Zatzal, who just died not long ago. He was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim for many years. And in fact, as some of you may know, we currently have no chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. Even though it's been a few years since Rav Kulitz died, they haven't figured out a way to appoint a new chief rabbi just yet. They're getting close. If you read the news earlier in Elul, there was a whole political tumult about that. But, so, I guess on some level, he's still the de facto chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, even though he's been dead already a few years. So, he has a sefer they put out of all of his chidushim called the Minchas Eliyahu. And he also has a similar idea which complements that which I had seen years earlier from Rozovsky and from Aaron Lichtenstein. And the approach is as follows. We saw that the Beis Yosef originally quoted the Rav Yeh as being the one who argued. We then saw that Rabbeinu Tam agreed, but the Beis Yosef made the point that it's really the Rav Yeh who championed this, if you will, more liberal shita, the B'dyevid Yoyotze, even without Kel HaKadosh. So as often is the case, I shouldn't say often, always is the case in learning, it doesn't matter who's quoting who. If you really want to understand the sugya, you got to see the sources in the original. So it's not that we don't trust Maran HaMechaver, because if Karo can quote a Rav Yeh, but still, he had his purpose in quoting, it was just the facts of the psak. What the Beis Yosef does not do is quote the line, the svara, the argumentation of the Rav Yeh. So if you take a look at the Rav Yeh inside, we'll see that he's very, I think, meduyuk, in a lumdisha sense, he's giving us a hint about what's going on. Now the Rav Yeh is going to say two things. We're going to read the first, in order obviously, but we're going to focus on the second, and then hopefully get back to the first. The first thing the Rav Yeh says is, listen, in order to be a lamdan, this is Aleph Beis, in order to be a lamdan, you have to know all the facts. Somebody told me actually at Gush this week, that Rav Hershel Schachter was there last year, and there was an Asel Harav, and someone was asking about lumdus and something, and he said something very extreme, I don't know if I would go as far as he would say it, but there's obviously a truth to it. He said, before you can say your own svaras, you have to learn all of Shas, Marashi Tosfos. So even if that's a little bit, I hope, because I haven't done that yet, so even that's a little bit exaggerated, but of course the svara there is, that very often, if you don't know all of Shas, you might be saying something which either A, is obvious because it's in some other Gemara, or B, may be obviously wrong because it's against a different Gemara. So the Rav Yeh, the first thing he says is, listen, we're arguing about a Gemara in Brachos, but I have a great raya, because there's an explicit Gemara in another Masechta that tells me what the Psak is. Take a look at the Rav Yeh. The Rav Yeh says the Gemara in second parak of Shabbos is a proof, because there the Gemara says, at the end of the first line of the source, parak of Mevadlikin, the yomim she'en bem karban mosaf, if you have a day in which you have a carbon musaf. What would that be? Like a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, you have a carbon musaf. And because of that, you add things, right? On Shabbos, we have Dibur Shmoneh Esrei. On Yom Tov, we have Yalav Yovo, we have Dibur Shmoneh Esrei. A day in which there's a carbon musaf, if you make a mistake, Ta'ah, Lo Amar, excuse me, I'm sorry, I misread it. So what I said is true, which is not the way we quoted it. If you make a mistake on a day that has a carbon musaf, then you have to go back. But on a day, Ein Bahen Carbon Musaf, he quotes it, the Ein Bahen Carbon Musaf, on a day the Gemara says where there's no carbon musaf, Tov Lo Amar, you make a mistake, what would be an example of that? Something, let's say, like Purim. No extra carbon musaf on Purim. Ah, there's Al Anisim. What if I forgot Al Anisim? There's Ein Bo Carbon Musaf. Therefore, Velo Amar, Ein Machzir Nesu. You don't have to go back. The Gemara is clear about that. It's not a controversial Gemara. We passed like that Gemara. So there are... that we have days, Yom Tovim, which have additions to Shimon Esrei. So the Gemara says, on exactly our question, do I have to go back or not if I forget those additions? The Gemara says, it depends, yes and no. It depends. If it's a day that had a carbon that had an extra carbon musaf, then I would have to go back if I made a mistake. If it's a day that didn't have a carbon musaf, I would not have to go back, even if I made a mistake. So, who can fill in the Rav Yoh's obvious proof? Next Tuesday, it's the middle of Maaseh Yemei Tshuva. I make a mistake and I say, Akel HaKadosh. Is there any carbon musaf there? Obviously not. So therefore, he says, you see, from the fact that Hamel HaKadosh is not just something we say in Rosh Hashanah, it's something we say all of Maaseh Yemei Tshuva. So it's obvious, it's a halach in Maaseh Yemei Tshuva. Maaseh Yemei Tshuva doesn't have special karbonos. There's no carbon musaf in Maaseh Yemei Tshuva. And therefore, he says, 1 plus 1 equals 2. This Gemara is a perfect raya that you don't have to go back, even if you made a mistake. That's point number one. I'm going to hold off on questions on that, because we're not going to focus on that right away. Then comes along the Rav Yoh, and he starts speaking, as you'll see, in kind of halachic or even lamdusha categories. See if you can understand what he says, and if we understand what he says, then we'll understand, I think we'll have a maftech, understand why those who disagree with him do. He continues in the second line. Bein l'chalik, and don't tell me that we can make the following distinction. Dahosam rag dileg. Then maybe in that Gemara, we're just talking about something called dileg. What does dileg mean? To omit something. Lidaleg in modern Hebrew, to omit something. Maybe we can distinguish between different types of mistakes, Rav Yoh says. And maybe you might have. He's about to reject what I'm telling you. But he says, maybe you would want to say that Gemara, where it made its distinction, was referring to a certain type of mistake, where you were medaleg, you left something out. But maybe here, when it comes to Hamel HaKadosh, Amar Bitos. You see what the Rav Yoh is doing? He's creating two halakhic categories. What are two? There's two dinim in mistakes. There's delayed, which is bad, but then there's Tos, which is worse. And he's saying, he's, as they would say in Yiddish, he's bavorning. He's preempting an argument against him. You might have said, oh, that Gemara is not a proof, because the Gemara is only talking about things in which were omissions. Delayed. But Hamel HaKadosh maybe is a worse mistake. It's not just an omission, it's not just delayed, it's a toss. And if it would be a toss, then maybe me, the Rav Yoh, is wrong, and you'd have to really go back. But he says, don't say that. Ein Lomar, don't say that. Tachanami, here also by Hamel HaKadosh, ein of a toss. It's not a mistake in the sense of the way he's meaning the word. Ella, it's just that. Shalom or Malchus. There's the bracha. I didn't leave out a bracha. I didn't fundamentally change a bracha. And instead of saying Hakel HaKadosh, I said Hakel HaRachamon. Right? God is the Kel of Rachamon. It's an important theme, especially this time of year. But that's obviously not the bracha. That would be a real mistake, he says. But here where I said Hakel HaKadosh, I just forgot one thing. I didn't mention. It's an omission. I didn't mention Malchus. But it's not a mistake, it's just a delay. And therefore, that's my svara, why I stand by my proof from the Gemara Mishavis. If I make a mistake, it's only l'chachila, but yebed, I'm okay. So before we analyze this for a moment, does everyone understand what he said? Okay, so I'm assuming that there's no bashful people here. So you're all telling the truth. You all understand what he said. Good, so now we all understand that. Now we know where he's coming from, his svara. Dileg versus Tos. So who wants to put on their lamdan hat? How would the other Rishonim, how would the Rosh, the Rif, the Rambam, how would they disagree with this Rav Yoh? once you have these two categories, so the Rav Yoel has a right to assume that it's only a dilug, but we could certainly argue that it's a toss. And if you'd ask me, frankly, it's much more likely to be called a toss. After all, if we speak about something like Yalav Yavo or Alanisim, those are completely new brachos put into Shmoneh Esrei. If I say Shmoneh Esrei without them, that's called dileg. But even then, the Gemara told us, sometimes you have to go back. That depends on the carbon or not. But here, we're not adding a new bracha. We're actually changing the nosach. And l'chora, if I change back, so to speak, I say Akel Kadosh, using the Rav Yoel's own categories, if you would ask me, I would have used it against him, right? Using someone's weapon against them is the best way of arguing. Turn the argument against them. And in fact, this is mukhruch, at least in one of the Rishonim. If you look at the Rosh, the Riff, and the Rambam, they just give you the Psak. So it's hard to know 100% with definitive certainty why they were arguing, although we're going to speculate that they agree with what I'm about to say. But there's a fourth Shita who agrees with the big three. Tosfos. And look at Tosfos. I have the source on the sheet. Tosfos is explicit. Take a look at a beautiful Tosfos. Tosfos argues on the Rav Yoel. What does Tosfos say? Sarech lachtom amalcha korosh amalcha mishpat. Bim lo omar mach zero so. It's ma'akev if you don't get it right. Go back. Make a mistake a second time. Go back a third time. You got to get it right. Mach zero no so. Against the Rav Yoel, against the Benatam, he's machmir like the big three. Why? What's his svara? Why so strict? Come on, Rabbi. Don't be so machmir on me. Every now and then, not so often, but every now and then I'd have somebody who'd call me up or, you know, see me in show and say, Rabbi, I have a question, but I'm just telling you right now. You got to answer this one the right way. And there was never any question what the right way meant in those cases. But Rabbi, I need a cooler. That doesn't happen so often. But, you know, Rabbi, why are you being so machmir? So, Tosfos, why are you being so machmir? You're going to make me go back, make me go back. So unlike the other Rishonim who just said it, and maybe left open other possibilities for their svara, Tosfos tells you, simple, Tikol ha-mishana mi-madbeya she-tobu chachomim, eino yotze yidei chavoso. Put it into the Rav Yoel's terms, what Tosfos is saying? What Rav Yoel calls a tos, he says it's mishana. Right? But for our purposes, those are synonymous. Mishana means to change. In other words, what Tos is saying, there's a madbeya shel bracha. There's a form. Chazal gave specific form to the brachos. And we generally have a klal in Hilchos brachos. You're not allowed to be mishane mi madbeya shel tovu b'chachamim. I want to make a bracha on the orange. But I want to say it in a different way than Chazal had in mind. I mean the same thing as them. I'm thanking Hashem for the fruit. The answer is no, that doesn't work. Or in a regular daven mishmon esrei. Chazal were given the unique power, we do not have it, to change madbeya, the form which way they chose. So says Tosfos, that's what's going on here too. Chazal determined, that's the conclusion of the Gemara that we started this year with, that the madbeya of the bracha, the strict form of the bracha is, during these 10 days a year, Hamel HaKadosh. If you say Akel HaKadosh, you might as well have said Hamel HaRachman, Akel HaRachman, or whatever. That's not what you're supposed to say. I say 355 days a year. But these 10 days here, it's a different bracha. And therefore, if you will make that change, it's not just a dilug, the way Rav Yoel said, it's in fact a mistake. Now, to step back from all of this, and we're not going to have time to see a lot of the achronim that I put on the sheet inside, which is fine. It's better to spend our time inside on the Rishonim, and the achronim are on the sheet if you want to look at it yourself. But the way the achronim kind of pulled this together, and I have it explicitly here from Rishon Rozovsky, is as follows. Take your question in a second. When we have these kind of additions to the Shemoneh Esrei, we have to ask ourselves the following question. What was the nature of Chazal's takana when they made these additions? One possibility is to look at them as just that. Different days have a different Kedushas Hayom, different character of the day, and some days require what's called a Haskaras Me'ein HaMa'ora. Whatever the theme of that day is, we have to be mazki, we have to mention in the tefillah some reference to it. Hashem saved the Jews in Purim, we mention that in Alanisim. Right? There's something called Ritzei in benching. There's something called Yalav Yavoh in Shemoneh Esrei. Those are haskaros, those are references to Me'ein HaMa'ora, to the theme of that particular day. But they're not part of benching itself. They're not part of Shemoneh Esrei itself. They're an additional chiyuv called haskaras Me'ein HaMa'ora. It's possible that's all it is. It's also possible that when Chazal misaken a takana, Yalv Yava, or Alanisin, Mora Melcha Kadosh. They weren't just adding a Haskara Menam Ora, but rather they were doing what? As Tosu told us, they were setting up a new Matbeah of Bracha. The Takana is not external, it's not apart from the Shemona Esrei or benching, it becomes a part of the Shemona Esrei. It's not just on top, it becomes part of it inside. And that, if we use Tosus and the Rav Yoh's language, is clearly what they're debating. The Rav Yoh, presumably Rabbeinu Tam as well, hold that Amelcha Kadosh is a kind of Haskaras Meina Ma'ora. We're supposed to do it in addition to Shemona Esrei, so to speak. It's an additional theme. As long as I say Hakel HaKadosh, certainly the basic theme, i.e. the basic theme of Shemona Esrei, still was Yotzeh. And therefore, B'dyevet, they hold it's okay. But the Tosfos and the big three, the Rosh, the Rif, and the Rambam, hold no. Chazal redefined the Shemona Esrei these 10 days a year. They redefined the third bracha these 10 days a year. The new Matbeah bracha is Hamel HaKadosh. And therefore, if you don't say Hamel HaKadosh on those days, it's ki'ilu. It's as if you didn't daven. By which I mean to say, it's as if you said 18 brachas and not 19, which is the way we used to say. I grew up in the Midwest, and especially a little bit older than you guys, kashrus was not, there weren't nearly as many kosher products in the Midwest, period, and certainly not 20 years ago as there are now. So you were often, as a kid, you'd go to the grocery store and you were always pushing the envelope with your parents, bubblicious, bubble yum, candy, this is before Pashkas, but nothing to eat. And I remember somebody was telling me, David, remember, 99% kosher is 100% treif. It's either all or nothing. So too Shemona Esrei. You could have said 18 out of 19 brachos, but if you didn't say Hamel HaKadosh, you didn't say Hakel HaKadosh, it's as if you didn't daven at all. So too, according to these Rov Rishonim, the way Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, Hamel HaKadosh is part of the Matbeah of the bracha. Therefore, if I don't say it, it's kilo, as if I didn't even daven. You didn't daven, of course, but yeah, you have to go back. You raise your hand, you know, we want an A for effort, but I said 18 of the brachos. Don't make me go back, Rabbi. No. 18 of the brachos ain't good enough. That's as if you didn't daven. But yeah, but you got to go back. It's not a chumrah. If you didn't daven, what do you want me to do? You got to go back. Okay, well, I'll take any questions you have now, and then I'll show you three or four nafkaminas that flesh this out more, and then I'll wish you a good yantif. What questions? Yeah. I can't hear you. Yeah, speak up. Why?
He's making a distinction between Rosh Hashanah and Atzeret and Shavuot.
No.
Why not? You didn't know much about Rosh
Hashanah? No, so I mentioned before, it's a good point. The issue with that is because you see from the fact that Hamel HaKadosh is said throughout the other 10 days of the year of Atzeret and Shavuot, that it's clearly not a din in Rosh Hashanah per se. Why are we saying Hamel HaKadosh Rosh Hashanah? Because Rosh Hashanah? Or because it's one of the 10 days of Atzeret and Shavuot? Clearly the answer is because it's part of Atzeret and Shavuot. Right, there are things we say on Rosh Hashanah, which Malchus and Chronos and Shavuot, which are only going to say those days, because those are clearly new tefillos unique to Rosh Hashanah. The fact that we say them all 7 days shows, and I think this part I would agree with Rav Yoh, it's clearly a din in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and therefore Aseres Yemei Tshuva fundamentally have no carbon musaf. And therefore, that was his first argument. Any other questions before we move on? You had to put your hand before. Is there an answer to it? Okay, thank you. So, I'll tell you quickly outside a few of the nafkaminas, which we're not going to have time to see inside, but again, I'll leave it to you to look inside, but I'll give you the facts. And we'll end this year by seeing the last group of sources inside, which is uniquely the case of tomorrow night's davening. We're barely 24 hours away from Yantif. This is Omed Allah Perak HaLamaisa. So first of all, a few practical nafkaminas. Number one, in Os Gimel, what if today, or for that matter, after the Saras Mechuvah, right, after 10 days of finally getting it right, Amal HaKadosh, Amal HaKadosh, Amal HaKadosh, what if the day after Yom Kippur you say Hamel HaKadosh? What do you think? So you see there's a machlokas achronim about that question. Hamel HaKadosh the rest of the year. And again, Machoros is the same machlokas. If it's basically the same thing, they're just interchangeable. Okay, so then just like I could be yotzei b'dyeved Hakel HaKadosh during the 10 days, I should be able to be yotzei b'dyeved Hamel HaKadosh during the other 355 days. But if you hold that it's matbeah shabrocha, Chazal change the nusach. So if they change the nusach to Hamel HaKadosh, they change it back to Hakel HaKadosh. It's either all or nothing. That's what machlokes. Os Dalid is the following. You know that every Friday night after Shemona Esrei, we say what's known as the Mi'ein Sheva, the Mogid Avos, right? No, what did I just say? Mogen Avos and Mechaim Esim. Where do those themes come from? What does that sound like to you? Shmon Esrei. The Me'ein Sheva is a summary of the themes of Shmon Esrei. Now, one of the things you say there, if I would have kept on singing, we would risk the windows breaking. But what we also would have heard is one of the things you say is Akel HaKadosh. So Shiloh that's discussed in Shulchan Aruch is, what about on Friday night of Aseres Mitzvah? What's the Nusach? So it happens to be that there's one obscure text in Rishonim who says keep it as Akel HaKadosh. But most poskim hold this out as passed in the Shulchan Aruch is as HaMelech HaKadosh. What happens if I forget? You know, it's one thing Shmon Esrei I've been practicing, but I'm singing Magen Avos, so there I'm so used to 50, you know, 2 weeks a year, I'm always saying Akel HaKadosh. You could see somebody making a mistake, and that's really embarrassing, because that's not your private Shmon Esrei. Everyone's going to hear that. And the Chazan says that. So do you have to go back or not? Now, what would happen in any shul that you or I grew up in? Somebody said Akel HaKadosh?
No.
Ah! I'm sure they'd be very polite and calm, and they'd be very concerned about his, you know, his embarrassment, and politely, they don't, only the Gavoy or the Rabbi would say something. Right? That's where you'd have, in our shuls like that, right? Anyway, Shomer Emunah, we're very not uptight at all about anything like that. So what's the halacha? So sure enough, you take a look in the bottom of the page and going over to the second page. A machlokas achron, the Shai Tshuva quotes two deos. Same machlokas. Is it part of the Matbeah Shel Bracha? Or is it just a haskara, which is only the chachila? Number five, Oshei on the second side of your sheet. What about the following Shiloh? Take a look at this. You got it right the whole week. Rosh Hashanah HaMelech HaKadosh. Aseres Mitzvah HaMelech HaKadosh. Kol Nidre HaMelech HaKadosh. Yom Kippur morning HaMelech HaKadosh. Then comes time for Mincha on Yom Kippur. I'm right there. You can see the end zone. You can smell the food. And that's the problem. You smell the food. You said HaKel HaKadosh. But what happened? You didn't remember until you were eating the food. You didn't remember until it's too late. So what do you do? So generally speaking, if you make a mistake, you're not Yotze, and we paskin again, remember, we paskin, we're living in a post-Shulchan Aruch world, we paskin, you say, Akel HaKadosh, you're not Yotze, you have to go back. What's the problem? It's after Yom Kippur. What am I going to say, Yom Kippur Mincha? After Yom Kippur? That's impossible. Who wouldn't daven a Shabbat Shon Esrei on Sunday? Can't daven a Yom Kippur Shon Esrei after Yom Tif. So, in theory, you could say, and so you remembered Maariv time, what's that called? Tashlumin. In theory, we would make you say two Maarivs. What's the problem? Both Maarivs have one Nusach. Hakel HaKadosh. The Shaila is, am I even gaining anything? Why do I have to go back and say a second Maariv? Because at Mimicha I forgot about HaKadosh. But what am I gaining if the two Maarivs that I'm saying are still both Hakel HaKadosh? And yet, in a parallel case of Yalav Yovo on Rosh Chodesh, because Machlokas Rishonim. Forgot Yalav Yovo and Mincha and Rosh Chodesh. Now it's Motzei Rosh Chodesh, and I go, oh my gosh, I forgot Yalav Yovo 10 minutes ago. Right, I dived right for Shkia, so I got to do two Maarivs. But once Shurach Chodesh is over, I can't say Yalav Yovo anymore. So should I say two Maarivs because I forgot Yalav Yovo and I won't even be adding Yalav Yovo? And that's a Machlokas Rishonim. Take a look at that. Tosas and Brachos, Chavov and Beis. It's a Machlokas Rishonim. So some Achronim say, L'chorah be the same Machlokas here. It all depends. If you see HaMelech HaKadosh is similar to Yalav Yovo, is just HaSkar Smeinam Ora, Chachila good. But B'di Yevid Yidavin, you just were missing that one Kiyum. Now, no, never. Sometimes in life, right, the train really does leave the station and you can't make it up. So you can't make up the Kiyum of HaMelech HaKadosh. But there's no point in davening over because you did daven. The only reason to daven again would be to get the Kiyum of HaMelech HaKadosh. But why would you do that if you can't even get that Kiyum? But if you say no, if you say like the Rov Rishonim that we've been explaining, like Tosfos, that really the reason we go back is because HaMelech HaKadosh is fundamentally the Matbeah Shel Bracha. And if you didn't say HaMelech HaKadosh, what do we say? It's Ki'ilu. You didn't even daven. Well, I didn't daven, and I got to repeat it. I'll tell me, yeah, but I'm going to be repeating it. It's after Yom Kippur already, and I'm going to repeat it without HaKel HaKadosh, without HaMelech HaKadosh. Listen, you're right. Like I said, sometimes you'll just lose out. You can't make it up. But what have I gained? At least I davened. I don't have the cherry on top, but I got the cake. According to this approach, if I didn't say HaMelech HaKadosh, I wasn't Yotzei davening. So of course I'm going to say two Maarivs, even though they're both going to be HaKel HaKadosh. It sounds funny. Two HaKel HaKadosh is to make up for the fact that I didn't say HaMelech HaKadosh. The answer is, that's the wrong way to look at it. I'm not making up for that fact. If I mess up on Mincha of Yom Kippur, I can't make up that fact. But what I can make up is something even more serious, which is I didn't daven up Yidin. Therefore, I'll daven again, Matzah Yantif, in order so that I should be able to be able to. Yeah?
Is,
And Ela is a good question. It's a little more complicated. I'm glad you caught me on that. I was deliberately trying to gloss over it. Ne'ila, in general, in the halachas of Tashlumin, you can't do Tashlumin if there's already been a tefillah in the middle. You forgot Mincha, you daven Marav, and then, Shacharis, I realized, can I take two Shacharises? You can't. So Shaila is how to understand Ne'ila. Does Ne'ila get in the way or not? And it seems, at least from here, it leads more Ian as to why. That's a lot of time, the next 48 hours. Maybe it'll be a good Rosh Hashanah afternoon, so get a look up. You have some of the Marmukomas here, you can get you started. Why would it seem to be from this that Ne'ila is not a problem? Apparently Ne'ila doesn't get, it's not Baba Cheshbon. Why? And is that really true? It's an interesting question. That's it. I'm glad you caught that. So let's finish. We have 5-6 minutes left. Let's finish with the case we started with. And some very interesting Marmukomas. We started with the following story. Tomorrow night! So excited, you're so excited, you forgot to say it. There's a lot going on the first night. You're worrying about where am I going to eat, am I in the dining room, did I get one of those surprise invites to a Rebbe's house. Right, it's a lot of stuff going on the first Rosh Hashanah night. And you say a kelikot. So, b'pashtus, you're all poskim now, hereby deputized by me. Everything we saw, the shacharar paskins, if you say a kelikot, what's the halacha? You got to go back. So what should the halacha be tomorrow night if you forget a kelikot? But Pashas, the answer is, of course, you have to go back. And that's what the overwhelming majority of poskim assume to be the case. However, the Chaye Odom quotes a contemporary, who's a great Gaon, not so well known in his own right, in Rabbi Abela Pasviler. Anyone know any Abelas? It's not such a common name anymore. Abela, Rabbi Abela Pasviler, who says a great Gaon in Vilna. So he paskin that even though generally we accept the Psak of Shulchan Aruch, that if I forget Hakel HaKadosh, I have to go back. One Shmon Esrei, the whole Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we can be Mekel. You know what that is? The first one. Now, I shouldn't say it so strongly because some assume that he would even be Mekel the second night as well. But either way, his Chiddush is the night of Rosh Hashanah, whether it's the first night or even the second night. Let's put that aside for a second. But the night of Rosh Hashanah, he said, is different. Even the Shulchan Aruch should admit. You don't have to go back. Who wants to take a guess why? No. Close, but sharper. A little different. Speak up. Don't be embarrassed. Yeah. What about Rosh Chodesh? Halacha is correctly stated with a little bit of undeserved modesty. You gotta say, you're teaching people Torah, you gotta say it proud. If you forget Yalv Yavo on the night of Rosh Chodesh, but Yevon, you don't have to go back. What's the Svara? Do you know that? Right? Because Rosh Chodesh, when we originally had Edim, could only occur when the witnesses were accepted during the day. So even though calendarically we know that this is Rosh Chodesh, so we start Yalv Yavu the night before. But B'dievet, since anyway, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it wouldn't have been Rosh Chodesh yet, we wouldn't have known until the next day, so B'dievet, we don't make the person go back. So says Rav Abba LePasviler, what day of the month, this is like George Washington's white horse, what day of the month is Rosh Hashanah? It's also Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, since Ein Makachin Ela B'yom, so it's really, really, really Midaraisa, it wouldn't even have been Rosh Hashanah yet when we daven Marav tomorrow night. Remember, just like B'dievet, if I forgot Yalv, I wouldn't have to go back. So too, if I forget Amal Chagadosh, I also don't have to go back. That's the Chiddush, the big Kula. I just want to finish so people can go, but I'm happy to stay after to take your question. That's the big Chiddush, the Kula of Rav Abela. Now, many, many poskim argued on this explicitly, and we don't have enough time, unfortunately, to see some of the main svaras that were quoted against him. One of the big ones I quoted here from the Stei Chemed. Another explanation, I got it from the Shaar Tzion, right? The Shaar Tzion is the Mishnah Berurah's footnotes to the Mishnah Berurah. The Shaar Tzion quotes this and rejects it. The Stei Chemed quotes with the other Achronim why they rejected it. And then I quoted for you here on the bottom, the Binyan Shlomo is written by Shlomo Kohen Mi. Anyone know? Mi Vilna. Apparently the Vilna guys stuck together. You know, it's like you come to yeshiva in Israel, you know, the help guys stick together, the TABC, you know. Guys stick together. So, Rav Abela has a Chiddush in Vilna. So the Dayan, Rosh Shlomo Kohen, the Dayan of Vilna, he says, I'm going to stick together, I'm going to defend Rav Abela. So he is one of the few Achronim, and it should be worth noting, Moshe Feinstein seems to accept it like that in Tshuva as well. It's the minority view, but those have some heavy hitters on their side, that we could be Mekel and they defend Rav Abela. So, halacha lamaisa, I don't want any, just in case it should happen to one of you, halacha it'll happen to none of you, not me either tomorrow. But in case it should happen, we assume halacha that you should say a second Shemone Esrei, but you should say it with the following in mind. Just in case Rav Avolo is right, I should have in mind that the second Shemone Esrei is a what? Is an edava. Right? Just in case. But Mikra Adin, we do require you to say second Shemone Esrei. So that's the halacha lamaisa, that's a psak of the shaila. But what's the longest of the shaila? How does this Rav Avolo relate to everything we've seen? So numerous achronim point out, and just as one of many I have on the bottom of the sheet, from Mori Barabi, Rav Schechter, and his sefer, Eretz HaTzvi, Rav Schechter quotes the name of the Rav, the following lomdus, which other achronim said as well. And that is that Rav Avolo, Chiddush, is based on the whole chakir we've been discussing in tonight's shir. Namely, he's assuming that you can equate Hamelcha Kaddish with what? You're back on mic. He's assuming you can equate a Melech HaKadosh with Yalv Yoma. So, but Yalv Yoma, you don't have to go back, as you correctly said. So, too, I shouldn't have to go back for a Melech HaKadosh. But what is that assuming? Like, which shita? That a Melech HaKadosh is just as far as Amenu Ma'ora, like Yalv Yoma. Oh, well, if you want to be a Rav Yom man, you want to be a Ben Otam man, Beseder. So, in economy, if you assume that it's just like Yalv Yoma, then you don't have to go back either. Usually, Yalv Yoma, you go back because of the carbon, but says my tshuva, there's nearly no carbon, and therefore in this case you wouldn't have to go back. But, said the Rav, how do we paskin? We paskin that generally you do go back for Hamelcha Kaddosh, even in the middle of a says my tshuva. Why? Because we assume that Hamelcha Kaddosh is not just an addition, it's not just an extra key and a cherry on top, like a Yalav Yov or Ola Nisim, but rather fundamentally, it's part of the Nusach of the Shemone Esrei itself. It's part of the Matbeah Shel Bracha. If in these 10 days the Bracha is Hamelcha Kaddosh, it is not Hakel Kaddosh. And therefore, if I said Hakel Kaddosh on the night of Rosh Hashanah, what's the difference if it's the night or the next morning or any other Shemone Esrei? It's fundamentally not the Matbeah Shetavu Bo Chachamim. It's not the Nusach that Chazal established. It's Kilo I didn't daven, and of course, I'm not Yotzei. The whole idea that we could say, well, I forgot Yalv Yavo, but they were Mekadosh. That's all because we assume that Yalv Yavo is not indispensable to Shemone Esrei. If Yalv Yavo was indispensable to Shemone Esrei, then you couldn't do without it ever. So that's obviously what Rav Avolo held. But we reject that down the line. We hold the halacha, like the other Rishonim, that it is indispensable because it's a part of Shemone Esrei. It's a part of Shemone Esrei. So what's the difference if it's the first night of Rosh Hashanah, the second night, the first day, the second day, or the middle of the week? If you didn't say the Nusach HaTfilah Chazal said you have to say, it's as if you didn't daven, you are not Yotzei. Any last questions? Okay, I should wish everyone a Kasiva V'Chasima Tova. If you haven't been here yet, the davening is beautiful. Daven well, enjoy. Yirut Hashem. I'll see you, actually, I'll see you after Yontif. I think Rabbi Tversky is next week, right? Did they tell you that, Dr. Tversky? The big tshuva lecture? I think Dr. Tversky is next week. Okay, so if I don't see you, Bob Dislukas, have a wonderful Yontif.